day on Being Disciples. Our topic is renewing the mind. What does it mean to renew the mind, and how is it done? Joining me today is Pastor Joe Mitchell for a conversation.
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen.
Welcome to episode 45, Renewing the Mind. What does Paul mean when he infers that we need to renew our mind? How does it transform us? What comes out of it? Let's start with his writing in Romans chapter 12, verses 1-3. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. All of you belongs to God. Every part of your being, if you are a disciple of Christ Jesus, belongs to God. This is also true for everyone else, but it isn't acknowledged by them, and they follow the wrong voice. There are also Christians who acknowledge it, however, they refuse to live it. We can see in verse 1, we talk about the body, presenting your bodies, and then the mind in verse 2, renewing of your mind, and the attitude in verse 3, not to think more highly of oneself than one ought to think. The reason stated here for renewing the mind is that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Of the will of God, Paul states what is good and acceptable and perfect. Good is Strong's Greek number 18. Definition is good. The usage is intrinsically good. Good in nature. Good whether it be seen to be so or not. Acceptable is Strong's Greek number 2101. Definition is well-pleasing. The usage is acceptable, well-pleasing, especially to God, and grateful. The word perfect, Strong's Greek 5046. The definition, having reached its end, complete, perfect. The usage is perfect, A, complete in all its parts, B, full-grown, of full age, and C, especially of the completeness of Christian character. So we see the will of God is good whether or not we see it as good in the moment as it furthers the plan of God for the sake of the kingdom and those in it. As the will of God is acceptable and pleasing to God, we are also pleasing to God as we carry out the will of God. And the will of God is perfect as it reflects His character. We also reflect His character when we act in accordance with His will. In order to reflect the character of God, we need to change how we see things, how we look at things. We need to retrain ourselves in how we ought to think, always from a perspective of love. We need to train ourselves to think in certain ways. One way is to take every thought captive. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4-6, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Those thoughts that do not obey Christ and are not in the will of God are to be taken and cast down. In God's will, we even have the power of God available to destroy strongholds and set the captive free. We need to be directing our thoughts, focusing on God's perspective, which may be referred to as seeing with God's eyes. Are our vision and thoughts running wild, or are they focused on the proper way? The perspective of Christ Jesus was always the views of the Father. Isaiah wrote of the righteousness in which the Messiah would operate. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 3 to 5 read, "And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." He will rely on the righteousness of God and upon what he hears from his Father, as the Father sees things, and on the truth heard in heaven. Jesus reiterates this in the Gospel according to John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, we read, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel.'" We are to likewise strive for such a mindset as we imitate Christ. This can only occur through spending time with Christ in living day to day with prayer and worship, building upon his love for us. He is the firm foundation upon which we build. We just read that Paul says we must destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. We destroy our false beliefs as we accept the truths and thoughts of God through the reading and studying of Scripture. After I had surrendered my life to Christ Jesus, he being my Savior and Lord, I came to a point where I had to determine my basis for truth. After many times of revisiting the teachings and doctrine of my religion and the corresponding education experience, compared with Scripture, the Word of God, I came to a point where I had to decide which I would use as the foundation of truth for my beliefs. I chose the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the Scripture they had written. You can learn more of the foundation in episode 4, Apostles and Prophets, the Foundation. Ephesians chapter 2:20, Paul writes, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." And again, we cover this in episode 4. As saints and members of the household of God, our citizenship is built upon the foundations and the cornerstone. We need to renew our mind with the acceptance of such truth upon which we can accurately build our faith and proper beliefs. Another adjustment is to realize that we are not our own. Obedience in love and having power in faith requires us to die to our old ways of thinking and acting. We are called to die to self. Paul led by example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, he writes, "I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day." He was doing as Jesus instructed for anyone who would be his disciple. The words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25 are, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Disciples of Jesus need to die daily to one's own selfish ways that try to hang on to the life of this world. We do live in this world for a time, but we are not to be of the ways of this world, for we have a new life in the kingdom of heaven. The new life is with God and in Christ. We are not our own. I often pray, especially before partaking in communion or when I need to humble my soul, "Almighty God, you created me, I am yours. You redeemed me, I am yours. I have surrendered my life to you, I am yours." So I'm acknowledging I'm not my own, I am the Lord's. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Here Paul mentions the body, but it is all of our being that belongs to God, body, soul, and spirit. Why do these things? First, the Christian life is a life of constant spiritual warfare. And Satan wants us to disgrace ourselves, causing us to falter. And if we disgrace ourselves, we dishonor God. If we remain in this state, we do not do the work of God. God wants us to be obedient to our call. God rewards us for obedience to our call. And others are blessed through our obedience to our call. So how are we to renew our mind? Through scripture, prayer, and worship. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. To be as one approved suggests that after being tested, one would be recognized as correctly and accurately handling scripture, remaining true to its context and meaning. Paul writes to the believers at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As the scripture passage says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We are to learn to live a lifestyle in which we are in constant communion with God and rejoicing, praying, and thanksgiving. We are to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Transform. The Greek word means to change form. The English derivative is metamorphosis. A striking alteration in appearance, character, or circumstances. It's an inward renewal of the mind. Inner spirit changed to the likeness of Christ. Spiritual growth reflects the inner change from Christ's lessness to Christ's likeness. Regeneration is instantaneous as we are born again. Transformation is an ongoing process in life as we mature. Intimate fellowship with Christ transforms one over time. Again, Paul writes, this time in Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. These changes do not happen automatically. We must put in the effort as we pursue God, as in episode 41, maturing in our spiritual lives. Salvation involves the mind, which is the center of thought, understanding, and belief, as well as our motives and actions. When a person becomes a Christian, God gives him or her a completely new spiritual and moral capability, which a mind apart from Christ can never achieve. We are to lay aside the old self, putting on the new self. This is the cross we are to pick up daily, to die to selfish desires, the old man, and live to serve Christ in love and thanksgiving as the new man. When Paul writes to Titus, we read in chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So the washing of regeneration is our salvation, the new spiritual and moral capability through Jesus Christ our Savior. It is the new birth that brings divine cleansing from sin and the gift of a new spirit-generated, spirit-empowered, and spirit-protected life as God's own children and heirs. The Holy Spirit is the agent of the washing of regeneration, hence the renewing by the Holy Spirit. The Greek term for regeneration literally means being born again. The Holy Spirit births us into the family of God. We read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Some people receive Christ, some do not. Those who receive Christ are given the right to become children of God. All are his creation, not all are his children. Receiving Christ, it's not merely accepting the facts of believing the truth. Intellectual knowledge is to know about, not to know. Receiving Christ is to accept all truth that comes from God concerning who he is, who we are, and agreeing in faith that we have the need of the salvation that only he can provide. Faith is full agreement with God, changing our thoughts, beliefs, and opinions to match his. We who are born again, who are pursuing God as disciples of Christ, have the mind of Christ through Holy Spirit. Paul writes again to the believers at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Our mind is in exactly the condition we put it. We must put our mind in the condition which we are called upon God to put it. Through the power of God, we change the mindset we had to what it should be. When it comes to Scripture, in addition to reading it and studying it, we do well to meditate upon it. Meditation involves selecting a portion of Scripture, focusing in upon something of it, and thinking deeply about it. What is the culture one is coming out of? What is the past, the old life? Part of that is the lack of depth in many people's thought life as we regularly scan headlines, hear sound bites, scroll through social media sites, etc. Renewing the mind takes effort. We determine how fast we make the change by the commitment we make to doing it and the energy we apply to making it happen. We need to believe it is possible and actively pursue it. Do you want to renew your mind? Do you want to have the mind of Christ? God wants you to do these things and enjoy the benefits of having done so. You have it now from God, and God wants you to function in it. We need to exercise our minds in thinking the right things in the correct ways. Every born-again believer has the mind of Christ according to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, as we read above. The level of our desire to realize that potential will determine how much we achieve in our pursuit of it. The greatest gift we receive after Christ and salvation is Christ sending the Holy Spirit to his disciples. Holy Spirit pulls out of our memory that which we have put into it. We must allow him to do it. This is one way of having the mind of Christ. But the word must first be put into the mind. Jesus says in the Gospel according to John chapter 14, verses 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." So a side note, here is another example of the Trinity, all three persons in one verse, in the words of Jesus. The Father sends the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Now our self-talk will determine our direction. We can remain in the negative self-talk, or we can go positive in conversing with ourselves on the Word of God. We can do this through imagining what something looks like or how it may be applied to our life. We can speak the word under our breath or speak it out loud, however we get it into our spirit so it can be drawn upon when needed. This can help build our faith as well, especially when in a conversation with someone, we realize that Holy Spirit just brought it up from the depth of our memory. Have discussions with fellow believers concerning something in Scripture. It is interesting how a conversation locks something into the mind. We are to be of sound mind, stabilizing it with the Word of God. So let's pause here for a reminder from Garrett where you can find these notes and others. And then I'll be joined by Pastor Joe Mitchell for our conversation segment.
Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. We will now move into conversation with this week's guest.
Thank you, Garrett, for those reminders. I'm sure people should study the notes on this topic. It's an important one. And with me today is Pastor Joseph Mitchell, a friend I have met, part of Omega Kingdom Ministry. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good.
Appreciate you being on with you today, John.
Yeah, I thank you for answering the call. As I put these episodes together, I just pray about it, and who the Lord brings to mind, I invite. And if they come on, great. If not, Garrett and I have a chat about it.
This is a great topic, and I'm really enthusiastic about this because it's very, very important.
And we all need it.
Absolutely.
So when I hear the phrase, I always think of this passage from Paul in Romans 12. Mm-hmm. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we're all at that disadvantage of being conformed to the world until we come to know Christ, right?
Right.
We all have something to come out of.
Yeah. What this says is, how can I know God's will? Because if we don't know God's will, then we're just floundering around, right? So it takes the renewing of the mind that we know God's will. So how can you discern God's will when you're in a dilemma like we were talking about before? So there are so many people who want to do the right thing by God, but maybe they're in a situation where they're just not sure what to do. So the question then for a lot of Christians is, well, is it my will or is it God's will? And how are we going to know that if we're not constantly in that frame of mind to renew our minds? Romans 12, 1 through 2, here we have two short verses, right? But they give us an answer, and it offers great advice on how to know God's will. And there's so much wisdom in these two short verses. And the best thing is to take the time to meditate on them, even if you know them very well. A lot of people say, oh, yeah. No, but you got to think about, you got to meditate on what these verses are actually saying, what they're instructing you to do.
That's one of the dilemmas of the culture these days is we're scrolling social media, we're hearing sound bites, we're seeing video clips, everything's fast food. Very few people I know will actually just sit down and meditate on something, lock in on something, and think deeply about it, because we're always moving on to the next thing in a hurry.
Yeah. Talking about the world's culture, that's the biggest problem going on today for Christians, because we always seem to have one foot in scripture and the other foot is in the world. And of course, we're in days where we just can't afford that. And so what these scriptures are saying in 1 John chapter 2, Jesus says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. To me, that's a big ouch, you know, that should be shaking you up. So if we made up our mind and that we don't want to clash with scriptures, and we shouldn't be clashing with them, we should be embracing them, then we have to do what it says. And so that means we offer, in that sense, we're offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. There's world system, and then a lot of the churches who have aligned with the world system, they go along with this one foot one place, the other foot in the other place. We're called to be exactly what that scripture says, renewing our mind. We have to do exactly what it says. And if we're not doing that, then again, as 1 John says, you know, then it's the pride of life. And we're not doing what the Lord instructs us, commands us to do. Big problem.
Another problem with this soundbite culture is it permeates the church to the point that people like to take one verse and try to build something off of that. Mm-hmm. Whereas these verses we're talking about, if you take 1, 2, and even 3, you'll see that it talks about the body, the mind, and the attitude. So it's basically talking about much more. So we could talk about your body being a living sacrifice. Okay, that's one thing.
Right.
You can talk about the renewing of the mind. You know, that's another one. You can talk again about attitude, and that's another. But when you put them all together, you're getting more of a holistic picture. And then the better part is when the Holy Spirit then prompts you as you're meditating on other verses, such as that First John verse, you get to start taking the whole of Scripture and seeing how it all plays together. And that's part of the renewing of the mind that we need, is to learn to adapt and do that. And that's part of what people are not being discipled in. That's why the Lord led me to do this podcast, so that people can be discipled in all areas to start putting together a whole Christian life and not just say this part's Christian and this part's not. And I do both. Goes back to when I grew up in the church system. I could go to church on Sunday, go to confession during the week, and then go out partying and drunkenness and carousing on the weekend till I started the cycle over. Whereas you're supposed to deny yourself some of the stuff in the world in order to draw closer to God and experience the power of God in your life. So there's a much bigger picture than one bite-sized nugget at a time.
Absolutely. Again, we're called to be a living sacrifice. When he talks about example, he means example. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, right? Renewing our mind. It makes me think about the fact that we need to keep an eternal perspective. And this is never emphasized, is that we need to have an eternal perspective on our lives, on our families, and the world around us. We need to focus on how we might feel about whatever decision. The fear of missing out is driven by the mentality that this life is all there is. It's never emphasized. I never heard really any church really emphasize that this isn't it. This is only our proving ground, our testing ground for those that the Lord is calling now. This is nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to what the Lord has for us. So we're given instructions, we're told how to make this connected and in line with the Lord. And he says, renew your mind. So when we renew our mind, we're also renewing, and you had mentioned, our attitude. Again, our perspective on all these things. So yeah, very much our attitude as well.
Yeah, so in verse 3 here, there's a point that I like to teach people, and it talks about not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. I always tell them there's the counter to that also, that we need to not think of ourselves more lowly than we ought to. What we really need to do is learn, what does God say about us? So in episode 16, it was who God says I am. And we covered a variety of verses that where God's talking about us, what he says of us. So to get that esteem right, and to see that he does talk about us in an eternal perspective, when he talks about at our salvation that he raised us up and seated us with him in heavenly places, he's seeing that eternity in advance. And we may still be looking at ourselves as a process of sanctification, moving from sinner saved by grace to Christ-like on the other end of the road. So this life really is a life of sanctification, of setting ourselves apart to God, of maturing and growing to be more Christ-like until the day that he brings us into that fullness of our salvation. So there is an eternal perspective that God looks at. And if we learn to look at ourselves and other believers the way God does, it can really set us free from the things of this world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you talked about identity, because that's what it is, how we see ourselves, who we think we are, and the Lord has a different... totally different way of looking at us. And yet we will see it. If you ask someone, if you ask someone on the street, who are you? Oh, well, I'm a construction worker. I'm a doctor, whatever it might be. Or I'm a nobody. Well, who are you though? And they might go right back into those same types of answers. Well, I do this and this and no, who are you?
Yeah, now what do you do? Who are you?
Right, right. But people will always identify themselves by what they do. Or they might say, well, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I have children. Yeah, but who are you? Do you know who you are? So when I ask that question of people, you know, and they're I'm watching them kind of spin around with it. I said, well, are you a child of God? Scripture calls us those who follow him are his children. And so we are very much his children. And if we saw it from that perspective and from that understanding, I'm a child of God, then renewing the mind connects very easily. But when we have this huge stumbling block of the world telling us, well, you know, this is who you are, this is what you do, so on, then it causes those problems. And you also mentioned, I believe, meditation. Meditation is another good way of us renewing our mind. Meditating on the goodness of God, meditating on what he has done for us, meditating on the work that he has called us to do in his name. So there's a lot of different ways that we can bring this forward. And again, it's these are all things, you know, and another thing is keeping an open heart and an open mind to the Holy Spirit. These are good things, acceptable things, as you say. These are all part of what God has for us. So the chances are high that God is thinking on a entirely different plane than we are.
That brings to mind the verse, you know, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Absolutely. But the nice thing is, and you touched on this about knowing the will of God, these verses also tell us the answer to why to renew our mind. And it's so we can discern what the will of God is for our lives. And yeah. If we're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, like you said, are we picking up on little confirmations or little signals? It's not always a big booming voice. Sometimes it's just, you know, my wife will say something that she doesn't know she's saying anything prophetic, but it's answering something that I've been asking God about to give me clarity on. And she says something and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I shouldn't go that way. I'm supposed to go this other way. And she has no clue that it happened. These things that we can perceive if we have the mind of Christ, if we're looking for the things of God, it's a big difference.
Right, right. And we need to be able to identify with that, as you said, God doesn't always have a big booming voice, and more than likely, he's not going to speak through us in that way. But I've found in my own life that the Lord will, as you just said about your wife, is somebody will say something, and I'll think, wow, that's right. I was looking for the answer. And here, this person, sometimes it's not even anyone I even know. I remember a few times I've heard people just saying things, and all of a sudden, it strikes a chord in me, and I go, oh, yes, that's right. One time I was driving, and I was speaking to the Lord in the car, and I'm saying, you know, Lord, I had this situation going on with some counseling I was doing, and I was speaking to the Lord about it, and right there in front of me was a big tractor trailer, and on the back of it, printed on the back of this tractor trailer, was a scripture, and that had the exact answer that I was looking for.
I mean, yeah, usually so, it's a timing thing, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it really is. It really is. And I just stared at that, and I thought, okay, thank you, Lord.
And you couldn't have scripted that any better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When we have our mind renewed, we can be so much more aware of it. And then we know that we're going in the right direction. We know that we are doing the will of God at that time because he's speaking to us.
And I think younger believers, at least I was this way, was thinking that learning the ways of God was all about the law and doing things right and not sinning. But really, I've come to learn, and I wrote it in the study here, we need to retrain ourselves in how we ought to think, always from a perspective of love, because God is love. So when I'm dealing with something, I'm either dealing with it from the perspective of love and what's in the best interest of the person or situation that I'm dealing with, or for somebody else or whatever. Or am I thinking it about, well, you're getting what you deserve, condemning somebody for what they're going through? There's a big, big difference, and you're received quite differently. And I'm sure the Lord looks on it quite differently when it happens.
Right, right, yeah. That's an area where when we start operating from the flesh, we'll say, well, good for you. You did this or this or this, and this is the result of it. But that's operating from the flesh. That's not seeing things and doing things from, again, from the Lord's word.
And there may be a time, a teaching moment to instruct on that, but not at the moment when empathy is required, compassion for the person to show them the love of God.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think I probably told you, I used to counsel addicts, alcoholics, and drug addicts. And one of the first questions they used to ask me was, were you an alcoholic or a drug addict? And I said, no, that wasn't my crutch. I said, but does it matter? I said, we all have places that we are weak in. And so when I would say that, they, from that point forward, they would hesitate of whether or not they want to confide in me. But when we realize that all these things, a crippled person is a crippled person, no matter how they got there. And so we need to be able to empathize and understand and work forward from that moment on.
Yeah, I have a little different experience with that. Is a while back, I was invited to go speak to a group at the Salvation Army Rehab facility in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And it was a Friday night, a hot summer day. They just had dinner. And the only thing standing between them and their weekend pass was they were required to listen to me. So you can imagine how that is. The guy says, when you're done, do not step into the aisle. You'll get stampeded. And there are probably 75, 80 guys in this group, little small auditorium. And so the Lord led me to begin the conversation. I showed a picture of my family when I was young, you know, back in the early 80s. I said, this is my family. You wouldn't know it by this picture, but I was an alcoholic and I was drinking and I was doing some drugs. And here's how it pretty much ruined my life. And so now I had that connection with them. But then I said, but the power of God, when I surrendered to the Lord, he instantly delivered me from the drugs and alcohol. And I didn't even know it for 30 days. 30 days later, I'm reading a book on my balcony and I hear a voice and I look up to see who's there. Nobody's there, but I heard this voice. So do you realize you haven't even smoked or drank for the last 30 days? Oh, I knew it was true all of a sudden. Didn't realize it, but I didn't know what to do. So I started reading the book again. A few minutes later, I hear the voice again. It says, do you realize you didn't even want to? I said, wow. So I went in and flushed my pot down the toilet and poured my scotch down the sink. And that was it. No 12-step program, no addiction. It was over. Now, I still had plenty of other things to deal with. But then I had these guys on the edge of their seat. And so every once in a while, I'd see the lead guy walk up behind somebody and tap him on the back of the head to wake him up. But it's the price you pay after a big meal on a hot day. So afterwards, he's right. The stampede happened. But there were about a half dozen guys that came up front to ask a couple of questions and have a little conversation. So he was impressed with that, that I was able to connect with some of them to that degree. And so I hope that it had an impact on them. But it is one of those things that as we renew our mind, all of a sudden we have a knowledge we didn't have before to express things to people of how to overcome things. And I like telling people that that which you overcome, you have a certain authority in, because now you have the basis for people to listen to you, listen to your story. And if you do it right, you can lead them to the Lord through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how we make connections, is through and it's interesting that you said the Salvation Army, because it was through the Salvation Army that I was counseling these men. So it's interesting. So, you know, that's an important point, is that we need to get godly counsel. We need to give godly counsel to people who need it, who are looking for answers. And there's so many people now looking for answers. So if we haven't renewed our mind, well, then the answers that we give then are going to be from the world. They're not going to be from the Holy Spirit. Again, I mean, all this points back to just these verses, right? Just these verses, they say so much, and they instruct us so that if we do this, then all these other things that we've been talking about are going to fall into place. Because how can we help others if we're, again, walking around with that crutch, as you were talking about? you got up and you were doing life and you realized all of a sudden, wow, I'm doing this without alcohol, I'm doing it without drugs. So it's a speaking to us. It's a renewing. People many times don't realize that this is about renewal, renewal, renewal over and over and over again. Sometimes we need a pick me up and we need to go to the Lord and ask him, wow, I've been having a bad day and I don't know what's going on. We need to go back to him. And hopefully when I say back, we never move too far from him, but we need to get back to where he wants us to be because that's the perfect place.
He is the true source of that deliverance.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So another little area is our self-talk, and everybody has it. Some people don't want to admit it. No, I don't talk to myself. Well, whether it's in your mind or under your breath or out loud in a mirror, you're talking to yourself at some point. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about that the weapons of our warfare aren't of the flesh, but they have the power to tear down these strongholds. Well, everything that's opposing us is a stronghold in our life. And mm-hmm. he says that we can destroy these arguments. Well, these arguments are negative self-talk. It doesn't have to come from somebody else. We do it to ourselves, or we listen to the wrong spiritual voices and basically put ourselves in these chains of being bound up by something. So to learn what God has to say about who we are, what he has to say about who he is, when we begin believing that he will do what he says he will do, we can overcome so many more things, and primarily with our own self-talk to keep us on the right path until we come in contact with somebody that can help us along the way.
Very much so. Yes. Yes. And listen to what the rest of that verse says. And every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Again, that's it, because there are opinions, there are understandings, perspectives, theories that are against the knowledge of God. And as it says,
and that's nearly impossible to do if we're not renewing our mind and taking in the truth of the word.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. As he says there, and take every thought captive to obey Christ.
We realize it's our negative self-talk. We need to learn to cast it away, take it captive, lock it up and throw it away and replace it with the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've met people who were missionaries in other countries and this kind of thing. And they would say that they would feel bad for the people because they had so little. And I'd say, actually, what a wonderful blessing that, because for them, they can see Christ so much clearer than those of us in the West. In the West, we were just inundated with so much stuff. And I'm not just talking about material things, but all these religions, all these philosophies, all these entertainment industry that we get bombarded with. When people say, well, you know, X amount of people came to the Lord, I said, I can believe it, because their hope, or looking for hope, is very black and white. It's not muddled with all these other things, you know, just confuse the mind. Look at today, we have boys wanting to be girls, girls wanting to be boys, and others who, I don't know, maybe they want to be space aliens. I have no idea. But it's the renewing of the mind. It always goes back to that, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, as it says here, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So in this country, again, in all the Western countries, we got this vast confusion going on. And it's going on because the scriptures are ignored.
I was just in a conversation about this at lunch with a group of people, our Pizza Man Church that we do on Thursdays, group of people together. And someone was asking the question about how all these people can be this confused about it. I said, well, once there was a day when it was primarily tracked back to trauma as a child, and it muddled the way you would think about things, the way we were raised. Somebody would be raised in a home where truth was not taught and you learn the ways of the world only. And now we have the added trouble of the culture and how loose information is, and how deceptive so much of it is. Then we also add on that now a layer of being educated in the schools differently and being indoctrinated into this is acceptable behavior. And not only do you have to accept it, you have to approve of it. And so looking at the way I was raised, what my kids went through, and now what my grandchildren are going through, there is a vast difference in the way things are taught, the way things are handled, the beliefs of the culture. Mm-hmm. And so it's much more complicated today, but it all comes back to what is your baseline for truth? And when I came out of religion and surrendered to the Lord, I had the Encyclopedia of Doctrine and Beliefs of the church I came out of, and I had the Bible open. I'd stop on my way home from work at the library, open these two up. And after a week of doing that, I just told myself, I got to determine which one of these I believe. And I closed that encyclopedia and put my hands on the Bible and told myself, my own self-taught, if it doesn't line up with what this good book says, it's nothing. So that became the foundation for all truth for me, was that whatever it was, it had to come into alignment with what the Word of God said. And that was the beginning of my true renewal of changing my mind on a lot of things I was taught.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I had a similar experience with that. I was up real late one night and I was listening to this guy on television. I didn't know who he was or what he was about, but he said, "Why were you born?" And I thought, boy, I'd really like to know that one. And then he started talking about the gospel and he offered Bible studies. I came out of Catholicism, so I didn't know anything about the Bible. Zip. Other than the few stories like Noah's Ark and so on and so on. So I sent away for these studies and I caught fire. I mean, I was so excited that there was something that was real, that was true. And when I compare it, well, I didn't have to do much comparing. When I looked at what I was taught from Catholicism, all I kept saying was, wow, I was lied to. I probably said that for the first 2-3 years. Wow, I was lied to. Because what was taught was totally contrary, as you were saying, to the Word of God. When I saw this, I just wanted to run around and shout and tell everybody, look at this, look at this, look at what God's saying, you know? And it changed my life around, totally changed my life around.
When I came to the Lord, I was driving the Dakotas. I had 4 hours between towns, sales routes that I had. And I got tired of listening. I didn't need to know about the hog reports, didn't care about the grain reports. Any talk radio was on their small towns, just didn't care. Got bored with the top 40 music. Started listening to these radio preachers back in the late 70s, early 80s. And they were saying stuff that didn't agree with what I was taught in schools and church and home. And so I figured, you know what? Those Gideons, they always have a Bible in the motel rooms. I'm going to make notes of what these guys are saying and just so I can prove them wrong. And I'll bet you 9 out of 10 of them were telling the truth according to what the Bible was saying. And that was the beginning of things for me till one day the Lord had me watching a show on TV, 700 Club, and Ben Kinchlow was one of the hosts. And I can't remember what he said, but I remember getting on my knees next to that bed and saying, this was my whole salvation prayer. Okay, God, if what that guy said is true, here I am. I'm yours. I surrender. I can't do it on my own. And life changed that very moment. And yes. I can't tell you the amazing things that have happened leading right up to a month later, that story about being on my deck and hearing a voice. And I don't know if it was audible that you would have heard it there with me, but I was hearing it. So it was new and strange to me, so much so I looked up to see who was there. And, you know, of course, nobody's standing on my deck with me. So it's interesting the way the Lord leads each of us to what we need. Evidently, I needed that. Because my reaction was, wow, this salvation stuff really is real. And that's what really set it firm in my heart that it was a real deal.
Yes, yes. And you know what just occurred to me as you were saying that is that, so you had an experience where it wasn't somebody saying to you, oh, come to church with me.
Right.
And
like the power of the gospel.
Likewise with me, nobody said, come to church with me. And it was a one-on-one experience. It was a one-on-one where the Lord dealt directly. So as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, well, then renewing your mind, I'm not saying that this would be the case right across the board, but for people who get invited by somebody else and that person's telling them things, sincerely telling them things, but maybe the renewing of the mind isn't that's not a prevalent thing at that point. And maybe it never becomes the focus. But like what you went through and what happened to me was a direct contact where our minds got renewed at that moment, didn't it?
I mean, and God does use people, because he used those radio preachers to get a certain amount of truth into me. He had the people that put the Bible in the room reaffirm that truth to me. He used that preacher on TV to challenge me that night. What do you really believe? Do you believe you can do it on your own or
right.
not?
Right.
And so he does work through us. And so it is important for us to carry those things out. But yeah. you're right. It wasn't inviting me to a place where this is the place to go. It wasn't inviting me to say, if you want to be saved and transformed, this is the religion. Come to church with me. Exactly. Which, as you were saying that, I'm thinking maybe all the come to church with me that the pastors encouraged and services became more evangelizing rather than teaching the body to function as the body should function.
Yes.
It became a, if we get them convinced they're saved and sitting in our pews, we collect their tithes. Right. It was more of a business platform than a salvation platform. But yes. here, what we're talking about is God used these people to get the truth to us. And then his spirit convicted our spirit to make a decision. What is true?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been told lies. And now I see in your word the truth. So which am I going to choose? So right. it is a direct contact with God through Holy Spirit, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
And he always points to Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes a big difference, doesn't it? When we have that opportunity, the more we renew our minds, the more scripture becomes alive. It starts right. to speak to us on deeper and deeper levels. Something we could have read dozens of times before, all of a sudden we read it and it's like, oh yeah, wow, that's right. Yeah. And you wonder who you're speaking to at that point, but it just opens up and God brings you by his grace. He brings us to deeper levels of understanding. We're no longer at a starting gate. We see that we've moved far along.
I've heard it said that the rabbis used to say there was 7 layers to every scripture. Now, I've never gotten deeper than about 3 layers on any scripture, but maybe I need to meditate better. I always tell people, like, there's your Sunday school lesson, then there's sure. the lesson you actually learn about the issue, and then there's like graduate lessons that all of a sudden you're realizing a whole new truth. So take the picture of Peter walking on the water. The sure. Sunday school lesson is, well, he kept his eyes on Jesus till he looked at the waves. He started saying, you got to trust in Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on him. Then the bigger picture is that Jesus came to him, and there's a picture of salvation there. And there's the picture of the others that are afraid in the boat that aren't brave enough to get walking out on the water, right? But if you take all 4 gospels and piece them all together, all the accounts of that happening, you'll see that whole story of salvation there, that first of all, Jesus came into the world. He was preaching to the people on the mountainside. He sent the apostles in a boat to go across the sea, and the sea represents the world. He's sending his disciples out into the world. He went up the mountain alone. He basically ascended. All of a sudden, he comes walking across the water. He's come back. And it says he would have walked right past them had they not recognized him and called out to him. It says that in the scripture. And so when they called out and realized it was him, Peter's like, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And he got out of the boat and started walking to Jesus. Peter is the sign of the overcomer. The rest of the disciples are the sign of the church and the people whose faith wasn't built enough, that they're still sitting there waiting for something to happen. Peter's the overcomer that takes advantage of the opportunity. He brings Christ back to the boat, to the church. Christ comes back to the church. And then it says, immediately they were at the other shore that they were going to. So it doesn't say they rowed 4 more hours. It says, immediately they were at the other shore. Christ comes back with his body to minister to the world. So there's a whole nother level. And, if the rabbis are right, there's 4 levels for me to discover in that yet. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the amazing thing about scripture, is that there's always something new to learn. It never gets old. It never gets dull. I mean, we can get old and dull, but scripture does not, And it's very thought-provoking, like the thoughts that we meditate on that can be apparent to some people, but maybe at that point they're not apparent to us. But again, when we get to that level, then all of a sudden it's, wow, I read this, I don't know how many times, and now I'm seeing it differently. You know,
yeah, it's exciting when you get enlightened to something.
Yes.
But
yes.
Even stuff as dull as like the family line in Matthew and Luke, you start looking through those, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, was a son of whoever, they died at this age.
Mm-hmm.
One day I decided I'd do the math and just out of curiosity, see how their math worked out, right? It's a little more skeptical than in faith. But what I realized is when you got down the line, Noah, who had to go into the ark by faith and trust in the Lord to protect him and provide for him and bring him through the other side, he was the first generation that did not have the possibility of going to ask Adam what the truth was.
Hmm.
Up until then, every generation, Adam was still alive for at least part of their generation. Every person on earth had the chance to go back and ask Adam, what actually truly happened? Tell me the firsthand account.
Yeah.
Noah was the first one that had to act by faith. And to me, that was a big aha, like, that's us.
Yeah.
Christ was on the earth, had the apostles, and Christ even prayed in his prayer in John that I'm not just praying for these, but I'm praying also for those who come to believe by hearing the word and the testimony of these that are with me. That's us.
Yes.
So it's like this wake-up connection. And as you renew your mind, it's fun to ponder these things and you have these aha moments that you're not going to get out of Scripture unless you're pursuing God and renewing your mind and asking Him for the mind of Christ in these things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, that brings up another point, that through renewing our mind, we learn to control our thoughts. If we don't learn to control our thoughts and emotions, we'll end up, those thoughts and emotions wind up controlling us. And that
goes back to taking every thought captive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right.
Well, I've really enjoyed this conversation and could go on for a long time, but we're about at time limit here. I like to try to keep these episodes under an hour. So I just want to ask, can I impose on you to pray for people that are desiring to renew their mind and just have kind of floundered at this point of doing it? Maybe pray some encouragement into their lives?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our great, 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 mighty God, Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for this time. And I thank you, Lord, for this moment in time, Lord, that you have given John and I to speak about your word, to speak about renewing our minds. Because, Lord, we know that it is only from you and from your word and from your promises that we can be transformed. And we ask, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, that all who listen will be transformed. If they're already followers, Lord, bring them to those deeper levels. If they're hearing for the first time, Lord, bless them. Draw them in, Lord, as it would be your will to do so, because they're listening to this broadcast. We give you thanks and praise, and I thank you, Lord, for John and for his ministry. And I ask, Lord, that you continue to bless him, so that every broadcast that goes out, Lord, someone will hear, and a word, a phrase, a scripture, Lord, will just convict them in their hearts and in their spirit that you are the one and only living God. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you, because there is, in fact, nobody, absolutely no one like you. Lord, we love you and we need you in all of these days, Lord. How much more we need you. So I thank you now and praise you now. And I ask these things again, Lord, for everyone who will listen, everyone that you call to this podcast, in the name of and by the power and authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Joseph, for being with me today and responding to the call. I really appreciate it. It was a fun conversation.
Yes, thank you too, John. It was great.
And thank you, everybody, for listening once again to this episode. And I ask you to join me next week as we take a look at another episode about being disciples. Next time, our topic will be fasting is slowing. Fasting has a way of slowing things down as one's focus shifts to things other than the world system. Join us next time on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a Patreon button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's John, J-O-H-N, dot Anoka, A-N-O-K-A, at virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.